I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to be in your house, to be in your presence, and to hear the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, minister to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. And today I'm continuing to share with you from where I left off last week. Amen. Amen. We are in a season, honor your prophet season. Amen. And so I was sharing a little bit with you about honor. And last week we talked about certain relationships, honor relationships, certain relationships that thrive with honor, relationships that flourish and that bless you when you introduce honor into it. And the first one was your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, and it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of my father, of thy father, should walk before me forever. But now, saith the Lord, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." You know, God said, "I changed my mind about you. I said that I will bless you. I said that," your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. That means your household would always be special to me. But now, be it far from me, right? Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Hallelujah. Have you ever changed your mind about something you wanted to do for someone because of something they did? Who has done that before? Yeah, that you were going to do something for them. You were going to bless them or give them a gift or something, and then they mess up or do something, and you change your mind. Yes, I did say I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Do you see? Yeah, I remember as a kid, my dad had promised to, you know, take us somewhere. And when the day came, he was a little reluctant. So we just stood on the promise he had made to us. And we reminded him, you know. And then he realized he had no choice but to take us. Now, in the process of getting ready, then I think it was my mom or someone who came in and reported to my dad something naughty we had done. You know, and then, you know, we were almost in the car. I mean, almost in the car when this was released. You know. And instantly he changed his mind. changed his mind and he said, no more, no more. I mean, he was actually furious when he found out what we had done. I think we had broken something that belonged to him or something like that. You know, but I always remember that. And I remember that because of, you know, it was an uncle of mine, I think it was. There was this particular uncle who lived with us, and he is the one who came to tell my dad. And our relationship with him has never been the same since. Hallelujah. But it appears that what turned God off these people was how they refused to honor him. You know, and despised him and said, look, I did say I was going to bless you. I said you and your family would walk with me or walk before me forever. That means you would be the chosen ones. You would be very special. But no more. I've changed my mind because I honor those who honor me, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Amen. So honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with him. The second one is to honor Jesus, and it will give life to your relationship with him. Honor Jesus, and it will give life to your relationship with him. Right? And Jesus said, he that heareth you, Luke 10:16, he says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. These are the words of Jesus, and he's showing us. He says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Right? So we despise Jesus when we despise people he sends into our lives. Amen. Number one is if you honor a man who is sent by Jesus, you are honoring Jesus. This is how to honor Jesus. If you honor a man who is sent by Jesus, you are honoring Jesus. Number two, if you honor Christians, you are honoring Jesus. Okay? If you honor Christians, you are honoring Jesus. If you respect Christians, if you love Christians, if you encourage Christians, if you support Christians, you are honoring Jesus. And the third one is if you honor Jews, you are actually honoring Jesus, because Jesus said they are his brothers. Amen. And you will be honoring Jesus directly. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you not to join people who mock and who laugh at Christians and who say very negative things about Christians. Hallelujah. No matter what your experience has been with some Christian or other, try not to say or join them to say negative things about Christians. Hallelujah. Because you never know, you would be stepping on the toes of Jesus. Can you see? Yeah, because anything you do to any of his people, you would be doing it to him. Matthew 25 and verse 40, it says, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. If you do it even to the least of one of these my brethren, one of these children of God, then you have done it unto Jesus. Hallelujah. And we saw last week how Jesus reacted to Paul. His name was Saul then in Acts chapter 9 and verse 35. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. It says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, Why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now here was someone who was on his way to persecute Christians, but he had no clue at all that the persecution of Christians was the persecution of Christ himself. Amen. So if you touch a Christian, you're touching Christ himself. Jesus actually said, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Do you see? Yeah, try to touch your neighbor's eye. Just point your finger towards your neighbor's eye. You see, there's an instant reaction, isn't it? What happens? What happens? They blink, isn't it? Yes, they react. Yes, not my eye. When you touch someone that Jesus says is the apple of his eye, you know, give me that verse. Give me that verse. The verse that says that whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Now, if you're in a habit of touching the apple of God's eye, then you're going to get lots of blinks from God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? He says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. You see, he has sent me to the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. Yeah, toucheth the apple of his eye. In another place, the Bible says that even the hairs on your hair, or the hairs on your head are numbered. Do you see? Yeah, it says he's counted the hairs on your head. So your hairdresser better watch out. You see, and your barber who keeps cutting away, he needs to watch out, because God is very zealous and very, jealous also of his people. And he's very keenly interested in how they are treated by other people. Amen. Amen. Right. Number three is honor the Holy Spirit, and it will give life to your relationship with him. Honor the Holy Spirit, and it will give life to your relationship with him. The Holy Spirit is also the anointing. The Bible says that how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, right? So the anointing is the Holy Spirit. He says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. So the Holy Spirit on Jesus is the anointing. Amen. So when we refer to the anointing, we're referring to the Holy Spirit. And when you say someone is anointed, you mean that the person is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, when we despise the Holy Spirit, that is dangerous. Amen? Yes, it's a dangerous thing to do. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, it says, Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace is another name for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He says you must be careful not to dishonor the Holy Spirit in any way. And that is why we have to be careful when we're dealing with anointed people. When the Holy Spirit is on someone and under that influence, that person does something and you criticize that thing, you are criticizing the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It is the same reason why it is an offense to resist arrest. Do you see? obstruct justice. You know, let's say the police are trying to arrest someone. You know, the police are trying to arrest someone, and then you hide the person, or you know where the person is, and you say you don't know where the person is. In other words, you are obstructing. You are, you know, not allowing the justice to, you know, to have its course. You see, now it is an offense because that guy who is arresting the person is not acting in his own power. There's a power behind him that is making him do what he's doing, even though you don't like what he's doing. Do you see? And when you react to what he's doing, it's a reaction to the power that is behind him. You see? And then that power now starts to come after you. Do you get it? So it is very important that we are careful with the Lord's anointed, right? People that are anointed by God to do things for him, be careful when you have to or when you are tempted to touch them in any way. Amen. If you don't know what to do with an anointed person, just be quiet and go away from his presence. Are you getting it? Yes, if an anointed person is frustrating you, just be quiet and just go away from his presence. But don't touch the anointed. Let me show you some scriptures. 7 times David refused to attack someone who was anointed. The first one is Psalm 105 and verse 15. And that one says, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." This is the Lord. He says, "Touch not mine anointed. Touch not mine anointed. Anointed and do my prophets no harm." That is people, my prophets means messengers of the Lord, isn't it? People who speak and bring a word from the Lord are his prophets. And he says, don't do my prophets any harm and don't touch my anointed. Hallelujah. God is serious about it. Don't touch my anointed. Even the government doesn't want you to touch the police officers, isn't it? Yeah, you're not supposed to touch police officers. You're not supposed to touch mailmen, the people who deliver mail to your house. Yes, and you're supposed to hold your dog and make sure your dog does not bite them because they are doing their job. If you don't let them do their job, you'll be in trouble. Are you getting it? So that's one example. Another example is 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 6. It says, and he said to his men, 1 Samuel 24 and verse 6, he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." Do you see? He said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master." Because, see, this master of his had been chasing him and had been trying to kill him. You see? And then later he went and found him sleeping somewhere. You see? I mean, if you found your enemy who's been chasing you at sleep and lying somewhere, what would you do? Exactly. So, see, his friends came up to him and said, "Man, this day the Lord has been good to you. God has delivered your enemy into your hands and has caused him to fall asleep right here. This is your chance." You see, and that's when David gave this response. And David said, "No, no, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." He said, "I won't touch him." And his reason was simply because he is the anointed of the Lord. Hallelujah. So many of us are bold. We are bold. We want to touch the anointed of the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. And you can't touch the anointed without touching the anointing. And the anointing is the Holy Spirit. You see, if I pour oil on someone, you can't touch the person without touching the oil. In fact, you touch the oil first. You go through the oil to catch the person. Are you getting it? Yes. And the oil will come after you. After you've touched the person, you see that the oil is following you. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need to be very careful when we're dealing with anointed people. In verse 10 of chapter 24, verse 10, it says, David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" Bring that verse 10, just verse 10 of chapter 24. We just read verse 6. Go up to verse 10. It says, "For behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Can you see that? Yeah. Now, go on to verse 9. He says, "And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt." Then add verse 10 now. Verse 10. "Behold, this day mine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee." Some people advised me to kill you. Do you see? "But my eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord, my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." In verse 11. "Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it." So what he had done was he had chopped off a little piece of the guy's clothes. Do you see? Yeah, his robe. He cut just the hem and he showed it to him. That, you know, I had a chance to kill you and I didn't. And I want you to see that there's no evil in my heart towards you. Because if I wanted to kill you, I would have killed you. You see, but the real truth was that he recognized that this guy is the Lord's anointed. You can't touch him and be free. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? So there's some more verses, but I just want to move on. Okay. Now the next one, number 4, is honor your prophet and it will give life to your relationship with your prophet. Honor your prophet. And it will give life to your relationship with the prophet. Amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." Amen. Now, you notice how Jesus went to a place where he was not honored. You know, he was not honored as the prophet that God has sent to them. In fact, if you read from verse 1, let's read from verse 1, Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. "He went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples follow him." And verse 2, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Right? "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. All right? So on one hand, they were astonished. They recognized that this man is being used mightily by God. This man is doing some unusual things. He's doing something that no one can do except God be with him. Do you see? They obviously recognize that there must be some external source, you know, to this ability. Because he says, whence hath this man these things that he's doing such mighty works? You know, where did he get, what wisdom is this that is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? You see, then they switch from that mode to offense mode. Do you see? Yeah. And the offense mode came about when they began to analyze him and they said, we know him. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. We know his parents. He's just a small boy. He's just a young man. He just started. Where's this guy from? Where did he get all these things from? Who does he think he is? You know, Jesus had been growing up among these people as a local carpenter. He had been doing things, fixing things, building chairs, making closets, fixing tables for people, and so on. And then suddenly, you know, he gets up one day and he starts to preach. You know, imagine if you had someone who was doing such odd jobs for you, you know, fixing stuff in your house, suddenly saying that he's the Messiah. He has come to save people from their sins. You know, are you going to believe that? I don't think you would. Yeah. Just someone you know who's just an ordinary person. Let's say your Uber driver suddenly turns around and says, I am the Messiah. So they had a problem with it. And in verse 3, go on, it says verse 3, they were offended at him, right? And then verse 4 says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. He said, the only place where you find a prophet not being honored is among his own people. Yes, among his own people, that is where a prophet is not honored. Do you see? And so in verse 5, the Bible says that he could there do no mighty work. He could there do no mighty work. So it also means the only place where a prophet does not do mighty works is among his own people. That means every prophet, every man of God is at his lowest among his own people. Yes. That's why you find often when people go out to preach in other places, you hear very powerful things and you wonder, is this not the same preacher who's with us? How come we don't see those things or we don't hear or feel the way others are feeling about him? Do you understand? And the reason is exactly what Jesus has explained here. He said he could there do no mighty work. He just laid his hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. But the Bible says it was because of the absence of honor. The absence of honor. This is the reason why we have instituted in our church Honor Your Prophet Sunday, which is Galatians chapter 6. It's from Galatians. We call it Galatians 6:6 Sunday. And the reason why we call it Galatians 6:6, can you put Galatians 6:6 on the screen? Galatians 6:6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. Now, communicate here means share, right? Doesn't mean send a text. It means share, isn't it? Can you give us another version that breaks this down a little bit? Give us another version that breaks it down a little bit. You know, let him, it says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Does it make sense? Yes. We're on our way down. Yeah. The one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Hallelujah. They must honor their instructor by sharing all good things, physical things, with their instructor. Can I have an amen? Do you have another one? Do you have another one? Right? You have another one? You have the message translation? Okay, this one says, the one who is taught the word, the one who is taught the word, is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Right? The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do you see? Perhaps this is the origin of tuition fees. Maybe this is why school is not free. I don't know. But I'm just thinking that the one who is taught is being required by force to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Right? This one says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things, you know, with his teacher, contributing to his support. Do you see? He's supposed to share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Amen. Oh, my time is finished already. Okay, you just give me just a few more minutes and I'll be done. Okay, right? So you can see right there, the Bible is encouraging us to share, that there is a time when you are also supposed to share with the one who teaches you all good things. Amen. That means physical things. Contributing to his support, I think, makes that very clear, isn't it? That it's referring to physical things. Now, in our church, we have one pastor. You know, yes, our prophet, our bishop, our father, our founder, different names we use and different titles we use to refer to him. You know, he is our pastor and he is our teacher. All the things we teach you are things that he has taught us. You see, many times I teach you from the books. So many books he has written, so much knowledge and so much information that changes lives, that affects us, and that has helped us so much. Hallelujah. And among his own people, we have to honor him. Amen. We have to honor him. Now, you can honor someone, there are different ways of honoring someone. You honor someone, one of the ways to honor him is to honor him with substance. Right. You get it? When you see, look in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, you see a verse there that shows in relation to God. It says, trust in the Lord. No, this one. Is it verse? Oh, verse 9. Try verse 9. Let's see. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. Yes, there it is. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. Do you see? So, honoring can also be with substance. That means with something physical, something that you have. You get it? And I like the word substance means that it's got to be substantial. What do you think? Yeah. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. I know that many people will find it a lot easier to honor the Lord with a song, which is also good. Honor the Lord with a song. Honor the Lord with your service. Honor the Lord with your worship. Honor the Lord with what? A dance. There are all ways of honoring the Lord, but there is also honoring with substance. Hallelujah. Right? So Jesus was saying that a prophet without honor is not able to do much among the people who do not honor him. Are you getting it? Yes. Among the people, because there is no, you see, the honor is towards what is on the person. The honor is towards the grace upon the person's life. The honor is towards the anointing. Do you see? The anointing on the person's life that makes the person do what he does. The honor is towards that. And when that anointing is not honored, that anointing is not provoked to do something great for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because what you don't honor really goes away from you. We all don't like to go to places where we feel despised. True or not? Yes. We all don't like to work in places where we feel no one, or we feel like people look down on us. Sometimes you can be in a place and you feel like nobody respects you. You feel like no one thinks you are worth anything. And you feel that way all the time. And it makes you want to leave that place. And the Holy Spirit is like that. The Holy Spirit does not work among people who do not honor him. Do you understand? Yes. He does not work among people who do not honor him. So you see in the... go back to the verse in Mark chapter 6 in verse 5. It says, but he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. You see, and look at verse 6, just the next one. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went round about the villages teaching. He left the place, you see, and go on. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits, you know. And the next verse. Now he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. This is Jesus is sending people and he's telling them specifically, "You, I'm sending you, but take nothing. Don't even take money. Just watch." Do you see? Yeah. He says, be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Verse 10. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And verse 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And then verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And verse 13, you know, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them, right? And King Herod heard of him. Next verse. Others said that it is Elias. Others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. Now, you see, notice the difference in the reaction to the same mighty works. Do you understand? Yes, because you notice that in this place, when he went to these other towns and he began to preach and cast out devils and so on, then they started to say that this is Elias. This is a prophet. Can you see that? They said, this is a prophet. He didn't have to tell them he's a prophet. In the other place, when he spoke, they said, are you not this person? Are you not Mr. Joseph's son? Are you not with Joseph and Sons Carpenters? You know, is that not you? Are you not the one? And they just really broke him down and brought him down to ground zero. But then he goes to another place. And when he does the same miracles, they say, this is Elias. This is Elijah. Others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. It's like nothing lower than a prophet. You see? And so as the attitude towards him changes, you start to see that the miracle and the blessings also begin to change. Hallelujah. So in verse 16, when Herod heard, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He's risen from the dead. Because John the Baptist was supposed to be a wild man also. You see, and Herod said, this is John. He has risen from the dead. And the next verse, Herod himself had sent, next one, right? John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Next one. Herodias had a quarrel and they killed him and so on. Next one, verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his bed, they made a supper to his lords. And the next one. Okay, Herodias came. Okay, keep going. And she went forth and she asked for the head of John the Baptist. And they came and they took and they killed John the Baptist. And the king was, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. Okay, and gave it and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together and told unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Right? Then he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Right? Verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the next one. 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. Right? They ran ahead of him. Right? And they came to him. So you can see the attitude is very different. Right? Next one. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Right? Verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Okay? Verse 36. And send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Verse 38, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Right? Next one. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Okay? And they did eat all and were filled. You see? And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Now you can see that as soon as the honor kicks in the place where he's respected, in the place where he's honored, you can see the kind of miracles that are beginning to happen. And the first one is actually a financial miracle. Do you understand? What to eat. He performed a miracle where people who did not have enough now had more than enough. Can you see that? Yes. People who didn't have enough. I mean, they had 5,000 or so people, and they made the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and they asked them, how much bread do you have? Somebody came and said, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 and 2 fishes. And Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Two fishes he divided among 5,000 people. Two fishes. Do you see? Right. And they all did eat and were filled. Say miracle. They all ate the bread and fish and they were filled. Do you see? Now, this is the sort of thing that the people in his hometown did not get to experience. And they didn't get to experience that because their estimation of him, their attitude towards him, the way they saw him, the way they looked at him was different. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I believe that God has given us a great prophet. God has given us a great prophet. God has given us a great man of God who labors among us, who teaches us every day, and so on. And if we don't honor him in a certain way, we also will not benefit much from the grace of God that is upon his life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And that is the reason why we have Honor Your Prophet Sunday. Read on here. When you continue to read in verse 40, it says they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And the next verse, 44, just keep reading. It says, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Okay? And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. You know? And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Okay? For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Tell somebody, it is the Lord, be not afraid. Hallelujah. He said, be of good cheer, it is I. Can you see what is happening? See, this Jesus we are reading about in this town is very different from the Jesus we read about earlier. Do you see? In the other town, he looked like some lame carpenter who was forcing and trying to become something. Trying to convince people that he was something. That God had anointed him, trying to convince the people that he was a preacher. In this other place, they received him as an anointed person. They said, this person is nothing lower than a prophet. Even Herod himself said, this one must be John the Baptist. John the Baptist has come back. It is important to recognize the anointing of God on someone and recognize the person by the great works that God is using the person to do. And when you do that, you set yourself up to begin to receive blessings through that man of God. Are you hearing me? Yes, because God delivers us, God blesses us through prophets. In the book of Hosea, chapter 10, the Bible talks about the Lord bringing his people out. He says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out. By a prophet. By a prophet. God does many things for his people by introducing a prophet into their lives. Hallelujah. And the way you receive the prophet is what determines what you get out of the prophet. Can I have an amen? Amen. So go back to the scripture. Let's read on. Read on in the last verse. Yes. He says, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure. You see, he went up unto them into the ship. And the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. for their heart was hardened. In other words, if they had remembered the miracle of the loaves, they would have known that this was nothing. Do you understand? They shouldn't have been surprised that someone who made 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough or more than enough food for 5,000 people must be capable of walking on water. But they had forgotten that. Do you see? Their heart was hardened. So right there we can also see that one of the reasons why people are not impressed by miracles is a hardened heart. Not that it's not a miracle, but it's because the person's heart is so hard. They are not impressed by what should impress them. They are not touched by what should touch them. The next verse. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. Verse 54. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. You see, straightway they knew him. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. These people, straightway they knew him. They didn't have to be convinced. Nobody had to sell them on Jesus. Nobody had to convince them. As soon as he got there, the people knew that the great prophet has arrived. And then they started to carry people out of their homes in beds. People who were sick were being brought and they were bringing them to where they heard he was. And what happened? The next verse. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, you know, besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Hallelujah. This is an action-packed chapter where you can see one miracle after the other. Look at what is happening here. Now the streets are lined up with sick people and they're not even asking for a prayer. They're not saying he should pray for them. They just know that if I can just grab and just touch a little piece of this man, just the border of his garment, I'll be made whole. And as many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched him were made whole. Hallelujah. So you see that the difference is in your attitude towards the prophet. The power is the same, but the power is turned on by the one who wants to use it. Are you getting it? Yeah. The power of God is turned on by you, depending on what attitude you decide to have towards the man of God. And then the next verse, verse 57, is there a verse 57? There isn't. Is that it? From there you go to chapter 7. Right? And they came together unto the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem and so on and so forth. Well, I just want you to see how that when you see and receive somebody as a prophet, you start to experience a prophet's reward. Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew chapter 10 real quick and we're going to close shortly. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. He says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Can you see that? Yeah. Now the next verse, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Can you see that? And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Can you see that? Then the next one, verse 42. And whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hallelujah. And then verse 43. Okay. Go back to verse 41. Verse 41, let me show you. It says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So again, you can see that how people are received is what is determining what people get out of who they are receiving. Those who are receiving him as a prophet are receiving a prophet's reward. Yes. So you see the experience of the people in his hometown, you know, they wouldn't even receive him as a righteous man. They were only ready to receive him as a carpenter. Do you see? Yes. When they saw him, they thought of nails, wood, you know, those were the thoughts in their mind. Then in another place, they see a prophet. And they are thinking, here is a prophet. Here is someone who can do wonders. So much so that even before he arrives in the town, they have gathered the sick people and brought them. And said, if this man can touch them, I know it can make a difference. Yes, they knew carrying a lame person from the house and laying him by the roadside is so worth it because this man can make a difference. One of the problems we have is that we as human beings, you know, do not believe in celebrating a person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Generally, people don't accept that you should celebrate a person until he's dead. Yeah. Once somebody dies, we can have a whole service in his honor, have his photograph all over the place. We can make a banner full of little, you know, photographs, maybe flags with his face, and line the whole place up. Make t-shirts with his face, you know. Yeah. Write tributes. Say wonderful things about the person. Buy what? Flowers? Yes. Different things we do, but only so long as you are dead. Are you getting it? As soon as you want to do that for somebody while they are alive, then they say that you are worshiping the person. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yes. We like to worship the dead. We like to fuss over people only when they are dead. Do you see?
Yeah.
Yes. But in our church, we believe in honoring people while they are alive. Do you understand? If we see our prophet as our prophet, then, you see, the Bible says that a prophet is not without honor except among his own people. And these stories we've read today just prove it. That it is only when he was with his own people that he seemed to lack a certain honor. But as soon as he went outside, he was a totally different person. And to whom he was a totally different person, their experiences were also totally different. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we want to honor our prophet, you know, we want to make sure that we honor the gift that God has given to us. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
God has blessed us with a great prophet. God has blessed us with a great man of God. God has blessed us with many wonderful things through him. His teachings, his messages, his podcasts, the camps we've had with him. So many different things that have come out of this man of God into our lives. And we want to celebrate that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's what Honor Your Prophet Sunday is about, which is next week Sunday. So next week Sunday, we're going to honor the prophet. Amen. We're going to honor him and honor him with our substance. Hallelujah. We're going to honor him. We're going to show that we believe in God's gift upon his life. We're going to be thankful for the gift that God has made him to us by bringing a gift. Hallelujah. By bringing a gift and to say thank you and be a blessing to him. How many think it's a good idea? Is it a great idea? So will you do it? Right. So we want to honor him, and we want to honor him substantially. Do you understand? Yeah, if he's been a blessing to you. How many of you can honestly say that you've been blessed by Bishop Dag's ministry? Raise up your hand. Let me see. You've been genuinely blessed. Your life has been affected one way or the other. Yes, even for you to have a church to attend here, it's him. You get it? He's the one who asked us to come here to come and start a church. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a pastor. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So the least he has done for you is to give you a church. It's to give you a place to worship, a place to come to, you know, a place to be nourished in the word. That's the least he has done for you. Do you see? And this one time in the year, you have the opportunity to show your appreciation. Amen. Amen. To show your appreciation to the man, not to the church. I'm not talking about giving an offering in church. I'm talking about being a blessing to the man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Being a blessing to the man. Being a blessing to the man. You know, yesterday I was sharing with some people that, you know, one of the reasons why our prophet must be honored is also the fact that he would allow himself to be used by God in the way God has used him. Do you get it? That God has not only anointed him, but he has also stayed faithful and not given cause to remove the anointing. We read how God told some people, I said, I'll use you, I won't use you anymore. Isn't it? So there's always a human contribution to it. Do you get it? It's not just that God comes and he just dumps his spirit on you and then you are walking around and doing wonderful things regardless of how you behave and so on. No, you also have to behave in a way such that the spirit of God can rest on you. Have you seen one of those trucks, like a UPS truck or maybe a semi or something, break down along the way and they bring another truck to offload what is on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the truck has failed. So the goods it was carrying have been transferred by them into a more faithful truck.
Wow.
One they can count on to deliver it. Do you understand? Yes. So one of the reasons why you honor a man of God is also the fact that he stayed faithful for the Spirit of God to continue to rest upon him. He lived a life worthy of the Holy Spirit resting upon him, you know, long enough to touch you. Yeah. And that means many things. It means many, many things. It means saying no to many things. It means restraining yourself from many things. It means refusing to do many things. It means choosing to be unpopular. It means accepting to be ridiculed, accepting to be laughed at, accepting to be mocked. You know, there are so many reasons why God will continue to use someone. And we shouldn't take it for granted when we see it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Even to be willing to go. He just finished 10 days of crusades in Botswana, you know. God moved there, but he had to go for God to move. Do you see? Because before he went to Botswana, God existed, but he wasn't doing miracles there. He had to go over there and say, Lord, we are here. Work a miracle. Cast out devils, heal the sick. And then those things began to happen right there. Hallelujah. So it is also the man. Do you understand? It's also the man. It's also the man. And like, we shouldn't get all religious and very, you know, hypocritical, you know, about it and say, it's God. The man is nothing. It's the man is nothing in the sense of his contribution to it. You get it? The man is really nothing, but the man is also something. If you drink a cup of hot chocolate and you're really full and happy, you can choose to say, it's the chocolate. It's not the cup. It's the chocolate. It's not the cup. That's true. But if the cup was leaking, you wouldn't have the chocolate. So although when we finish, we really praise the chocolate and say, wow, this is real tasty hot chocolate, you know, and the cup, nobody says anything about the cup. Yes, that's true. But you know that the cup has to stay faithful for you to enjoy that chocolate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, and that's the reason why the least we do for the cup is to wash it after and give it a good treatment and put it somewhere and show some respect and some honor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we are honoring the gift of God. Do you understand? And honoring the gift of God, because it's not everyone that God has used the way God has used our prophet to plant more than 3,000 churches, you know. Yeah, and we've lived through all of them. We've seen them happen throughout our lives, yes. We've seen them to build over 600 church buildings and counting. Yes, over 600 church buildings. And just building and building and building and sending missionaries and raising up people and planting churches and writing books all at the same time. You know, it is a great anointing that is upon him. And we don't want to be the group that does not honor its prophet. The prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. It means that we are at risk. What do you think? It means we who are his church are at risk. And when you find out that you are at risk for something, you take intentional steps to get out of that situation. Isn't it? If I told you the police are down there, what are you going to do? You will intentionally find your brake pedal and practice stepping on it. Isn't it? Yes, once you know you're at risk, you now must intentionally be careful. So since we are his own king and we are in his own house and we are his own people, we are the people who are likely to relate with him without honor. And that's the reason why we are intentionally instituting a day and a service dedicated to him. And dedicated to his honor. So that's what next Sunday is going to be about. Amen. And I want all of you who are here today to come and to bring someone along with you. Amen. And to, can you explain to someone why we are honoring our prophet?
Yeah.
If you bring someone and they say, in your church you make too much noise about your prophet or about your pastor. Can you explain that to someone? You can explain it to someone? Yes. You know, if he were dead, there would be banners and photographs, not only inside, even outside. Yes, we'll all wear T-shirts, we'll all wear armbands, and we'll wear things around our head with his face on them, you know. Yeah, and the whole service will be about him. Yes, we'll sing some of the songs he wrote, then we'll read tributes, and people will share testimony. They'll talk about how he affected them. They'll say, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, and that will be perfectly okay. Not a single soul will say we are worshiping him because he's dead. Praise God. That just shows how hypocritical we are. We are just so hypocritical when it comes to these things. We will not praise people, honor them while they can hear, while they can see. We wait till they die. Do you see? But we will not do that in our church. Amen. Amen. If you have something to say to your father, say it while he's alive. You have something to say to your mother, say it while she's alive. Do you see what I'm saying? You have something to say to people who mean a lot to you. Say it while they are alive. Don't say that when you say it, they're going to get swollen headed. It's their head anyway. You don't have to worry about it. Why do you want to worry about my swollen head? Are you getting what I'm saying? Do your duty and honor your prophet, and it will release a blessing. Final verse, verse 5. Let's read it again, verse 5. He says, and he could there, verse 5. He marveled, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. That's sad, isn't it? Because it's not like he didn't have power. Because as we read on in the same power, same chapter, we see him walking on water, feeding 5,000, healing the sick. People were just touching his clothes and they were healed. So we find out that it is really the people. Hallelujah. Adjust your perception of the prophet and your attitude towards him, and it will be a blessing to you. We need to do that in our church. That's why we encourage everybody to get his podcast. Amen. Because if you see him and receive him as a prophet of God for you, it will change your life. It will change your life. It all depends on you. We read the verse. It says, if you receive the person as a righteous man means a good person. A good, caring, concerned person. Yeah. And if you receive him as such, he says he will give you what a good, caring person can give. But if you receive him as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Hallelujah. I want a prophet's reward. Who wants a prophet's reward? Who wants a righteous man's reward? I don't want no righteous man's reward. No. I can be that righteous man. If I'm going to relate with him, I want a prophet's reward. So I'm going to relate with him as a prophet. Amen. So next week, write a note. You can write a note. Write something, you know, and bring an offering in a nice envelope, or you're going to give on your phone or whatever. And we're going to receive a special offering in honor of our prophet. Amen. And I believe that it's going to trigger something that was triggered here in your own life. And you'll be blessed. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Everybody close your eyes and I want us to take just a minute to thank God for the life of our prophet. Just pray, everybody, and thank God for the life of our prophet. Thank God for his life and for everything that God has done for you through the prophet's ministry, whether it's a book you read or a message you heard or a meeting you attended. A camp, a conference, however you encountered him, or even if it is one of his churches through which you got saved, just thank God for his life. I want you to thank God for his life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Thank you for blessing us with such a prophet. Thank you for using his life so mightily and extending your grace, Lord, to us through his ministry. Thank you for his faithfulness, Lord, through the years, over 30 years of consistent ministry and consistent preaching and teaching, consistent, passionate exertion of himself just to accomplish and to do something for you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing Today we pray for him, Lord. We bless him, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you will satisfy him with long life. That you will show him your salvation, Lord. We pray for his family. We pray for his household, his wife and children, Lord. We pray that your grace will rest upon them also. That your protection will be with them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let your protection be with them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let the angel of the Lord encamp around them at all times. In the name of Jesus. Let not the enemy have an advantage over them in any way. In the name of Jesus. Let not Satan have an advantage over them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Supply all their need, Lord, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for such a prophet. Thank you for such a pastor. Thank you for such a man of God as you have given to us. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus. You know you're not saved. You know you're not born again. That if you died today, you don't know if you go to heaven or you go to hell. You don't know. You can't say so for sure. But I want to give you an opportunity, which I hope you will respect and take advantage of. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. An opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. So that you can say with confidence that if I die today, I know that I have secured my place in heaven. If you're here like that, and this applies to you, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just right where you're standing, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here today who wants Jesus? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want Jesus in your heart. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Is there anyone here today like that? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you to give your life to Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be saved. I want to pray with you today. Is there anyone here like that? Okay. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? If you're watching online, if you're watching on Facebook, or you're listening to the podcast, I want you to join us as we say this prayer. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Everybody say, Lord Jesus. I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you died for my sins. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me and let your blood cleanse me. Make me a child of God. I want to live for you, Jesus. Please help me to be a strong Christian, to be a serious Christian, to love and to serve you the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we want to come to the Lord's table. Let's have our communion. Amen. Let's have communion. Can you get the communion clip ready, please? Today we'll have communion with the prophet. Amen. Going back to having communion with the prophet.
In the spirit we are young and we'll live forever. Sons of God,
oh,
here in this holy world. Table
shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness a hundredfold, and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Does everyone have one now? You need one more? Everyone has got it. Oh, the stage.
No.
Everyone has. Okay, then come back and let's pray, all right? Is the video ready? All right, let's do it. Is it coming? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the power that is in the blood. The power to forgive sins. The power to break the power of the enemy in our lives. The power to end every form of captivity. The power to extract people from the world and from the spirit of worldliness. And to plant us on solid ground and establish us in your house. Thank you for the power that is in the blood. Today we place ourselves under the power of the blood and we apply it fully in the name of Jesus. We apply it fully to our lives. We apply the blood fully to our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we claim every deliverance that is available to us in the blood of Jesus. Deliverance from evil, deliverance from captivity, deliverance from bondage, deliverance from sins that have plagued us for a long time, deliver us from things we have struggled with for a long time. We claim our total freedom today in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus rise and speak on behalf of your people in the name of Jesus. Let us stand between us and the enemy in Jesus' name. Let the blood speak better things. Let the blood speak better things. Let a blessing be conferred upon us, O God, because of this blood. We thank you in the name of Jesus for your blessing. Hallelujah. Okay, they have the video now. I think we can continue with it.
Take your bread as we pray over your bread.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Christ, the bread which we break.
It's have you got your bread? Now this bread, are you there, that we are receiving today is a bread that makes us one family. You're my brother, you're my sister.
So take me by the hand, together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand
to your feet.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, as we take this meal of love,
yes,
let the love of God,
yes,
that comes from Jesus, from you, through Jesus,
yes,
to us, spread amongst us.
Yes.
Make us a permanent family.
Yes, Lord.
As we eat from one loaf.
Yes.
One bread, the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
May we receive from you, Lord, all
Hallelujah.
The healings.
Yes.
And all the blessings and all the love.
Yes,
that is
Lord.
Only found in Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Till he comes, there's no foe that can defeat us.
Now take the cup. Whatever you lack,
yes,
in your personality,
yes,
that makes you fight,
yes,
quarrel, and
yes,
be isolated,
yes,
may the blood of Jesus,
yes,
remove that sickness in your soul.
Amen.
Whatever separates you,
yeah,
whatever isolates you,
yeah,
whatever makes you not blend in,
mm,
and join the family,
mm,
you are healed of it today.
Amen.
Whatever is in your eyes,
yes,
that cannot let you see the church as your family,
yes,
you are healed of that disease.
Amen.
The curse is broken.
Amen.
Life has come.
Yes.
Healing has come.
Amen.
May your sins be forgiven.
Yes, Lord.
May your mistakes be washed away.
Yes.
Whatever grievous sin you committed this week,
yes,
last week and the weeks before,
yes,
may you find mercy through the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Lift your hands for your blessing. God brought you from a far place, but the journey is not over.
Yes.
There is more land, more years, many more miles to go.
Yes.
For the years ahead.
Yes.
May you have the wisdom.
Wisdom.
For the years ahead.
For the years ahead.
May you have the grace.
Yes.
For what lies ahead.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wherever you have come from, that is holding you connected to the past. That chain is broken today.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
You are released into the future.
Yes.
You are released into the blessing that God has for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you travel to the nations that God has intended for you.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
May you go to the places God has intended for you.
Amen.
May you become spiritually what God has intended for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare you will live.
Yes.
And not die.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you. Everybody just thank the Lord. Father, we thank you again for the blessings upon our lives today in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you will live and not die. Tell the person you will become what God intends for you to become. Hallelujah. Amen.